You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning once again, 11 a.m. service. Today, we're kicking off a brand new series called Live to Tell. It's a brand new series, and before everything else, talking about telling or living to tell. How many of you here saw this movie over the past few weeks? A little movie appeared over the past few weeks, just making headlines, and grabe ang hype. I was in Manila when the movie debuted, and ako nakita nga poster dito nga, as early as 6 a.m. na showing dito. I believe in Cebu or some other parts of Manila, pagani, 2 or 3 a.m. So before pa lang mo trabaho, nakakita nag-moving. And in fact, when my wife and I saw it here, inanakataas ang linya. And I'm sharing this because much like many of you siguro, especially if you're a movie guy, diba, if you want to watch shows and all of that, diba, you can't help but share it to other people. Especially kung gikan mo lang tawag Endgame, there were some people that I know, kulang na lang, tibok movie na istulti nila na ako. They just can't help themselves. They want to share it outright. And looking at this made me realize that as people, we love to share stories or our experiences to one another. Diba? Kasi din rin sa inyo, mahilig mag-Insta story or mag-My Day. Tanan na lang, anything about sa day ninyo, you wanna post it online, what you ate, you wanna show people how awesome your day was. O sige, napaminaw niyo nga music sa Spotify. Ang uban ganin, baski ceiling na lang, i-video na rin music naka-background. Muna na, pag-insta-story na. We can't help but share to people how awesome our day was. This is what happened to me. This is where I went to. Or if we can take vacation. We want to share people. I believe we all want to do all of those things. Now, this made me ask as well, or made me think, if we want to share our lives to other people, even those we don't really know online, all the different aspects of our lives, our school, our work, our family, our recent experiences, this made me ask, what about our faith? Do we have the same enthusiasm in sharing our faith to people with sharing to people about movies, about our vacation, or whatever that we're watching right now? Are we excited to share to people our faith, about Jesus, our testimonies, about our lives as Christians? Are we excited to share those to people? Or gina-keep na natin, ay, ako rani, personal rani, this is my own thing na lang. Do we live to tell the tale? Do we live to tell people this Jesus that we worship, this Jesus that we follow, that every Sunday we come to church, we declare that He is God? Do we live to tell? So you're thinking, man, I'm not really that enthusiastic to share about my faith. I'm not here to guilt trip you. But really, this series is for us to be inspired and to be instructed on how to demonstrate and declare the gospel. By the end of this series, my hope and my prayer is that all of us would be inspired, not just because giyan ko service, but we would love to share our story to people. We would love to share how Jesus saved us. We would love to share to people what did God do for us. We would love to share people our faith and not just declare, but also demonstrate that it is seen in our lives. It's kind of like when you look at ambassadors, they represent their home country. However, they conduct themselves in public, it reflects the country that sent them. So they do carry themselves well. And what they speak, it represents their country the same. The same way, as Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ, the gospel should be proclaimed both by our lives and our lips. Now, there is a part of being a Christian that means that we ought to go out there to the world and preach the gospel or demonstrate the gospel in our lives. And if you're here today and we're thinking, I'm not really that enthusiastic at the moment in sharing my faith to my workmates, to my classmates, even to my family members. Well, may this word greatly encourage us to do this. Now, after this word, may we have that passion and that interest to all the more share the gospel to people, whether it be through our lives or through publicly declaring it through our speech. So if your Bible's with you, can you ready them to Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 17. It says here in verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of Him, two by two into every town and place where He Himself was about to go. And He said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way, behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide for. The laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house whenever you enter a town, and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Verse 10, but whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Verse 13, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you, and you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Last verse. The 72 returned with joy and saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in name. So as we were saying a while ago, as we go through this series called Live to Tell, we can learn a lot from this passage that we're going to uncover or unpack here today. Firstly, in verse 1, it says here, the Lord appointed 72 others. This isn't the apostles, but 72 other disciples, and sent them on ahead of him, 2 by 2 into every town and place where he himself was about to go. So Jesus was about to do ministry in certain towns or places, and before he was going to go there, he appointed the 72 disciples and sent them ahead of him. Parang advance party. Okay, he sent them by twos. Okay, parang imagine Jesus. Okay, gather the guys. This is your mission. This is what you're going to do. Play. Okay, go, 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 go. Like disperse. They would go to this town, this city, this area, and they would do ministry. They would heal the sick, cast out demons, and proclaim the kingdom of God is advancing. They would do all of these things. Now, this isn't the full gospel preaching pa, because they didn't fully understand the gospel at this time pa. But nonetheless, they were preparing the towns for Jesus' arrival. So the first thing we can learn from this passage, the verse 1 palang daan, is that Jesus commissions us to go to the lost. Not just in this verse, but later on in Matthew 28, after Jesus died, resurrected, and he was about to leave, he told his disciples, go and make disciples of all the nations. We are to go out there to the people. When we say to the lost, we're talking about people who don't know who Jesus is, who have not heard of the gospel, who don't know who God is. There are thousands, numerous people who have not heard of Jesus, who have not heard of the gospel. And we need to go to those kinds of people, even in our own nation, our own city. We need to go to them and preach or bring the gospel to them. So as we go through this passage, one word I want to highlight or share to everyone is this word, this key word called missional. Now being missional includes embracing the posture, thinking, behaviors, practices of a missionary in order to reach others with the message of the gospel and not necessarily in another nation. Even where you are right now, you can be missional. Let's say you're working in Jollibee, in Qualphone, in Lee Plaza. You're in Siliman, you're in Norsu. You're living in one of the subdivisions in Dumaguete right now or in your boarding house. You can be missional there. The principle here is that you have the same thinking, the same mindset or posture, much like a missionary would. Kung ang missionary, giato siya lying country, and his thinking is, I want to reach out to this person. I want to bring the gospel to this community, to these people. The same thing with us. Wherever we are right now, wherever God has called us to go right now, we can be missional. Or rather, we should be missional. We should have that in our minds that, man, I want to bring this gospel to my company, to my campus, to my subdivision, to my community, to my family. Again, going back to the verse, Jesus says, he sent them ahead. He sent the disciples. The Bible, again, compares us, the believers of Christ, as the salt and light of the world. Now, if you know of salt and light, both of those items are to be used. You don't just keep salt and hoard salt to yourself, di ba? Kailangan niyo gamitin ng salt. Kasi hindi mo appreciate niya, kailangan na i-salt sa food, kundi tag-ang kayo. You need salt, you need to apply, it has to be used ang salt to the food. No one lights a flashlight or a lamp and says, uy, tabuni ang suga, sayang ang suga. No one does that. If you light a lamp or a flashlight, it has to be used. You light the darkness with it, it has to be used to illuminate the place around it. The same thing with us as believers, since we are the salt and light of the world, we are to go out there, be the salt and light of the world. Sometimes we need to break out from our comfortable Christian bubble. Sometimes we fall in that comfortable routine. When you think about being a Christian, it's going to church, reading our Bibles, spending time with fellow believers, that's it. All those things are good. By all means, go to church. I'm not saying that after this, hindi ako mag-church. I'll just be out there. No. By all means, go to church. By all means, read your Bible. By all means, spend time with fellow believers. But there's one more aspect of being a Christian that sometimes we tend to forget. And that is to fish for the lost. To fish for people. To bring the gospel to people. We need to go out there into the world. We need to break out from this comfortable Christian bubble that sometimes we're unconsciously putting ourselves in and bring the message to others, to other people. And take note, these are the 72 that he sent out to Jesus. This isn't just the top 12, niya, ito mga apostles. These are the other disciples. In other words, all believers are called to demonstrate and declare the gospel of the kingdom. If you're thinking right now, kani, pang full-time lang ni. Para sa mga missionaries, for the Victory Group leaders, for the few people in church na kaya nila mag-preach the gospel. For me, okay ra ko dire. I'll just sit down. No. It's for all believers. This is for you. This responsibility, this role, and this privilege of preaching the gospel or demonstrating the gospel to other people has been entrusted to us by Jesus, His people. Not just an elite few in the church, but to all people who claim to follow Jesus. We are to demonstrate and declare the gospel. This is for all believers. This is for everyone. In fact, verse 2 gives us the picture of the necessity, this big need of people to go out there and preach the gospel or demonstrate the gospel. It says here, he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. It says here, the harvest is plentiful. If you think of people, souls being won for Jesus, people surrendering themselves to Christ. If you think of him as the harvest, it says here, the harvest is plentiful. There will be a harvest. Qualphone, in Teletech, in the companies, in Jollibee, in McDo, wherever in Dumaguete. There will be a harvest in Siliman, in Norsu, in St. Paul, in wherever else in the campuses in Dumaguete. There will be a harvest in your subdivisions, in your communities. And in the other parts of this nation and other nations of the world, there will be a harvest. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful. There will be open doors. There will be opportunities. There are people who are actually seeking and wanting to know who Jesus is, who God is. They have questions about who God is. But the question is, are there enough laborers? Will there be people who will go out there to the harvest field? It says here, therefore pray earnestly. When you say earnestly, it means seriously. This is a serious prayer. That the Lord of the harvest may send out laborers into his harvest. That God will send more people to go to the fields. Whether that be to different nations, like some of those people, and yet to other nations, or in our own nations, in our own places. But the point is, there is a need of laborers, of people who would go out there and demonstrate and declare the gospel. If for the longest time your prayer has been, Lord, send him and him. Lord, siya na Lord, gamita siya, ayaw lang ko Lord. Guess what? Everyone is needed. And don't diminish what God can do through you. If you think na at di ko pwede gamitin ni Lord, dili ko mayog English. Gawago ba ang English? It doesn't matter, di naman kailangan English na para ma-save ang person. You can be as Bisaya, whatever. If you feel like, at di ko pwede gamitin ni Lord, my educational background is this level only. I can't be used by God. My family background is this. It doesn't matter what your background is. As a believer, as a follower of Christ, you have been birthed again, given this new identity in Christ. You have the Holy Spirit with us to empower us, to make it effective for us to be witnesses, to declare and demonstrate the gospel. The point is, church, all of us can be used by God to demonstrate and declare the gospel to people. Do not disqualify yourself. Kaling preaching ni, dini para na ako, para nistupad na ako. No, this is for you. Verse 3 says here, go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. It's pretty interesting. You need Jesus there. You know, if I wanted Jesus to compare me to an animal, and he's telling me, you have a mission, Tom. I'm sending you out there. If I wanted him to compare me to an animal, Lord, but the eagle, Lord. I wanted Jesus to tell me, you're like a mighty eagle flying over the obstacles, flying over the battlefield. You're like a mighty lion tearing apart your enemies. But in Jesus, I'm sending you out as lambs. Jesus says, we are like lambs. I'm sending you out. You have this important mission to demonstrate, to declare the gospel, to do this and that, or in their context specifically, to the 72. You're going to do all these mighty things, and I'm sending you out as lambs. And take note, as people in their culture, in their time, lambs for them, ginakao nila. They themselves, ginakao nila. Muranig baboy sa ilaha. This is their typical normal food for them, ang lambs. Lambs, not even fully grown sheep or ram, katunay mga sungay malang para maka-defense sa themselves. Lambs, defenseless, weak animals. And Jesus says, I'm sending you as lambs in the midst of wolves. In the red corner, na lamb. In the blue corner, na wolf. Mag-away. But Jesus is trying to tell here to the 72, it's basically the reality, and he's warning them that there will be persecution. That much as lambs would be harassed and attacked by wolves, imagine nilang yun eh. As he sent out these 72 disciples, there will be persecution, opposition, there will be challenges. In the same way with us, right now, over 2,000 years later, there's also still persecution and opposition. When you talk about declaring the gospel, preaching the gospel to people, oftentimes, and I know what hinders us is the fear of rejection. Tom, dili ko ana kay what if i-unfollow ko niya as a friend? What if mawala mo friendship na mo? What if imak ko, binuangan ko? In some countries, you will be put to death when you become a Christian, or imprisoned, or punished. Here in the Philippines, yes, there's persecution. The worst is siguro binuangan ka. Uy, nanang pastor, niyagi na. Okay, or, oy, praise the Lord, nana si holy, holy, holy. That's the usual persecution that you might encounter. Now, I'm not downplaying what some of you might have encountered throughout the years in your journey as believers, or what you will encounter as you preach the gospel to people. And I'm not sugarcoating that when you preach the gospel to people, it's going to be all okay, no problems. No, this is the reality right here. There will be challenges. There will be problems. But the risk is worth it. We're going to talk more about that later. But here's the thing, may the rejection and persecution not discourage us. Because here's the thing, all of us here today are thankful and grateful that we know and you know of who Jesus is, what he's done for us. We are recipients of God's blessing in our lives. Every Sunday we get to come here, worship God. We are assured of our salvation, of our redemption. And how? How did we get to know all of this? It's because someone risked it all for us. Someone risked being ridiculed for our sake. Someone shared the gospel to you, whether that be in the pulpit or someone personal to you. Someone did one-to-one with you or preached the gospel to you years ago. Someone risked being persecuted so that you may receive the gospel, so that you may be a follower of Christ, so that you may know just how much God loves you. And for us to say, I'm not going to do that kasi mabinuangan niya ko. It's pretty selfish of us not to do the same when we ourselves are recipients of someone crossing or risking it all for our benefit. So may we be reminded, church, that wait, kita mismo. We are recipients of someone risking persecution. At one point in our lives, we ridiculed people as well, for some of us, okay? But here we are right now, recipients of God's blessings in our lives by the grace of God na saved na. Not by our own works, but by the grace of God. So may we not be afraid of the wolves around us, but may we still go out there. And verse 4 gives us a picture of the urgency, of the importance of this mission. Jesus says, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Pretty interesting ang instruction of Jesus. Ayo pag tagad-tagad ang tao diha, just go. Jesus is not being rude here. Na parang, kung naim wagi dya, uy bro, kumusta na? Di na kumutagad. Nakoy mission, nakoy mission. The context here is that the message or the mission is so important that they are to be single-minded. That they are to go to this place as quickly as possible. That after Jesus told them, go, di na sila mubalik na, mukwa pa sila other bags. When you think about going to a trip or a journey, some of us, di ba, we overpack. One day trip, ragani, duwa ka maleta na gidala. The point is, di ba, when we would go to a trip, sometimes we would overpack, bring all of these things. Unya sa Lord, maging packis ako, balance ako ni. But the urgency, the need of this mission was such a point that Jesus said, carry no other items, just go. No money bag, no knapsack, not even a bag, walking stick kasi siguro na nila. No sandals. For some of them, siguro naka barefoot sila walking. And greet no one on the road. Ang context is because their greetings before would take time. Medyo dugay ang greeting niya. Uy, kumusta? Magtabi-tabi pa sila. The point or the context simply here is get to the mission field as quickly as possible. It was that important and they needed to go. Verse 5 to 8 naman gives this assurance naman that yes, they didn't bring all of these things, but it doesn't mean na gipabaya sila ni Lord. It says here, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Verse 6, if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. Meaning, if no one will accept you, it will return to you. But if they will accept you, it says here, remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. So their provision would come in the form of the houses that they would go to. Meaning, they would go to a town, they would ask someone, peace be to this house and all that. If they would be accepted, they would stay in that house. Munang base nila, basically, for doing ministry in that town. And they would stay in that same house. They would eat and drink whatever is provided for them. No matter the quality, no matter what food it may be, they would eat and drink what is provided for them. For the laborer deserves his wages. So again, they were not forsaken by Jesus naman. Walay kaon-kaon at tumo sa towns. It wasn't like that naman. They were provided for naman. Do not go from house to house. So Jesus told them, ayaw mo pagwais-wais. Do not go to this house, may pagkaon. Then go to another house, may pagkaon naman, or other stuff. Stick to one house. Jesus is teaching them to basically to wait on His provision, to wait on the provision of God for their ministry. Verse 8, whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Second thing that we can learn from this passage is that Jesus empowers us to meet their needs. We are to be missional. We are to go out there, meaning we have to have the mindset of a missionary. The first point, that wherever you are right now, one mindset you should think of is, how can I get this person to know Jesus? How can I get my workmate, my classmate to know Jesus? How can I live a life that this person would truly say, bro, parang, di ba Kristiyano ka? Can you tell me about this Jesus that you talk about and all that? Hey bro, maglahit na lagi ka, before nani ka. How can I live my life? That's like a walking billboard post to people. That's like a walking advertisement to people that Jesus is alive. How can I live my life that way? And one way we can do so is basically to do things that ministers or meets the needs of others. In verse 9, part of the mission of the disciples were to heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So they would heal the sick. They would cast out demons. They would minister to the towns. They would do acts of compassion. They would help the people. Then after that, they would proclaim, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Then they would talk about Jesus and all of these things. But before they would do so, they would minister. They would help out other people muna. So my question for everyone muna right now is, what can you do to be a blessing to someone? Let this question sink in. What can you do to be a blessing to other people? Oftentimes, ang thinking nato sige is, usaw na ako para malibrihan ko yung friend na ako. Kasi next mag-birthday, para na ako yung libreng kaon, para maka-budget ko. How often do we think na, how can I be a blessing to my workmate? Usaw ako pag-blessing sa akong classmate, sa akong igsuon, sa akong silingan. How can I be a blessing that this person, that God is glorified through my actions, and this person will say, uy, ano nang libre siya karon? Sa unang pagpalibre man siya, karon siya na nang libre na ako. Ano nang ikitabangan ko niya karon? In a way naman, that glorifies God. Ha? Dili ka na may ulterior motive. Ah, kung buhato niya ni, para buhato niya para na ako. Dili na lang naman. In a genuine way that there's a blessing to someone, what can you do? Oftentimes we think, ay, naman ko yung problema. I have these challenges, these issues, or I am not rich naman tom. I'm not a millionaire. But you don't have to be a millionaire to be a blessing to someone. You don't need to do extravagant gestures to be a blessing to people. Simple stuff lang. I mean, think about your close friends, your family members who have been a blessing to you. Some of them, they did simple things for you. Like spending time with you. Libreng kakaon, as simple as that. Or helping you out in some errands. What's one thing you can do to be a blessing to people? Think about that. Exercise your brain cells. What do you have? What resource, talent, skills, abilities do you have with you that can be a blessing to other people? What do you have with you, church? In Manila, in one of our churches, this person realized in the church, in one of our centers in Manila, there were some people who were deaf. So when they would attend the church, what's they must have done? Or sometimes they would be hindered to attend church because they couldn't understand the preaching. It's like a dungog. So what this person did was that he learned sign language. for the sole purpose of translating the preacher so that when these deaf people would come into the church, he would sit in front of them, then he would translate, usagi preach a preacher, and he would do a sign language to them so that deaf people could understand the preaching, so that they could understand the word of God. As simple as that lang. He learned a new skill to be a blessing to other people. In fact, that person was leading a victory group full of deaf people. And he would do all the sign language that they would understand. One simple thing that he's doing to be a blessing to others. How about us, church? What can we do to be a blessing to other people? What do we have? Sometimes we think, wala mo ko inaa. No, you have something. God has blessed you with gifts, talents, skills, resources, connections ba, to be a blessing to other people. Our good works prepare the hearts of the people. We reach out so that they can be ready to receive and believe the good news that we preach. Part of the reason why it's important for us to minister to the needs of people is that it readies their hearts. Gifts open the way to the hearts of people. Be a blessing to others. This is one more story I want to share. It's the story of our real life. Real life is basically a foundation for giving scholarships to students, of course. This started out way back several years ago in Pasig, in one of our centers. One of our pastors saw some street kids or some impoverished kids. Out of his compassion for them, he started feeding them or started doing some kind things for them. And later on, through his acts, he came to realize that he wanted to do more for them, not just to feed them. Yes, it was good, but it was not enough. He would feed them, but still, their life was still the same. They were still living below the poverty line and all that. So through effort and planning and coordination with some other people in the church, to cut the long story short, eventually they started Real Life Foundation. They started this foundation to give scholarships to students, to give them an opportunity to study in colleges or in high schools, so that they may live a different life. So para makabangon man sila from their previous lifestyle. To help their families, to get a job, for them to experience prosperity, and not just that, not just for the sake of scholarship lang, but as they did so, it opened doorways, not just for the students, but for their families as well to receive the gospel. Okay? But this, right here, this foundation helps them, not just in their schooling, in provision, but this also paved the way for dozens of people or hundreds of people to receive the gospel, to see the gospel being demonstrated. So again, there's just one story of what we can do with our good works, with our talents, skills, resources, to be a blessing to people. Again, what can you do to be a blessing to someone, church? What can you do? Think about that. What can we do to be a blessing to other people? Third thing that we can learn from this passage is that Jesus encourages us to keep preaching the gospel. What do you mean by that? Not keep preaching the gospel. Verse 9 again says here that after healing the sick, they would declare, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." Verse 10, "But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.'" Parang, ang dust, ang gina-wipe off. Or gina-wipe off nilang dust. "Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than that for the town. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for the mighty works done in you, had they been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes, but it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades." Now, the whole thing here, the whole past few verses talks about how the disciples should respond when a town would reject them. If a town would receive them, okay, stay there, eat, drink there, further provision, do ministry there, heal the sick, cast out demons, and declare the advancement of the kingdom of God. But if they would be rejected, if the town would say, "Eh, di miganhan ninyo," what they would do is that they would wipe the dust off their feet and pretty much declare that what's going to happen to that town will be much worse than what's going to happen to Sodom. Now, it's a figure of speech, basically. Sodom is this town or this city in the Old Testament wherein it was destroyed by God because of the severe sin in that city. The city was so sinful, it did so many horrible things that God destroyed that city. And so the Jewish people, they know of this story of Sodom. Familiar sila ni, very visual sila. And for Jesus to say that it would be far better for Sodom than for this town to reject the message that this disciples were bringing into the town, it gives you the severity of the rejection. And why? It says here in verse 16, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." In other words, rejection of them was equal to rejection of him, Jesus. And rejection of him, Jesus, was rejection of God. They didn't just reject two people, disciples. But the rejection of these people was basically a rejection of God. His message of salvation to them. That was why it was so severe. Because if they reject this message of salvation, then basically, again, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. It doesn't matter how holy they think they were living. It doesn't matter how righteous they think they were. Because they rejected Jesus and the gospel, the saving good news. What would happen to them would be so severe. The wages of sin is death. Eternal damnation, eternal condemnation. Eternal separation from the goodness and the love of God. That's why it was so severe. Another thing to note as well is that the reason why the 72 disciples were sent by Jesus, not bringing anything with them, is so that these towns would really assess and decide if the wato nila or dili ang disciples. If the disciples were fully provided for, they could just pay for this stay or let us stay here. Here's our pay. And they would be accepted. No consequence sa town. But if they come in there proclaiming that they're ambassadors of the Messiah, they're penniless, they didn't have anything with them, wala ganis lay sandals, the village, the town, it would be forced to decide whether they would receive them or reject them. So in other words, there is an accountability there for the town if they would generally accept these disciples or not. And for those who rejected them, what would happen to them is really severe. This reminds us as well of the need, the importance of going out there, church. A couple of verses before I end. 17 and 20 of Luke 10 says here, "The 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" Lord, amazing kayo. We did all these mighty things, even the demons are subject to us in your name. We can cast them out. Jesus basically tells them, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this." I mean, yeah, good things, not, but don't make this your main joy. "That the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Rejoice that your salvation is assured. Rejoice that you have been redeemed, saved. Rejoice that unlike the other people, ikaw, saved ka, your names are written in heaven. In other words, church, our main motivation for going out there into the world, our campuses, our workplaces, our communities, in demonstrating and preaching the gospel, is basically because we want all our loved ones to be saved, to be redeemed, to hear how much God loves them, for them to know who Jesus is. Because here's the thing, if your loved ones, your family members, your friends, if they do not know of the gospel, if they have never heard of the gospel, if they don't receive Christ, if they're not saved by Christ, then they will suffer the same thing as those other towns that rejected the disciples. That's a hard truth right there. We are here today and we're grateful. Lord, thank you. You've saved me. You've redeemed me. Lord, thank you, Lord. I get to worship you. But here's the thing. How about your friends and family members? How about your loved ones? How about those people that you care? How about those millions of other peoples who need to hear the gospel? Church, we need to go out there and demonstrate, risk the persecution, risk out the mocking and the attack from people ba, and the opposition. We need to demonstrate and declare the gospel. Now what? What can we do? Very quickly before I end this. Firstly, just a quick tip for us as we talk about demonstrating the gospel. Firstly, be present intentionally. Be present in the lives of people. Befriend someone. Be present in someone's life with the intention of, man, I want to bring you closer to Jesus. I'm going to bring you to church. I'm going to make sure that you get to know who Jesus is. Next one, listen attentively. Listen what their problems are so that you would know how to minister, how to meet their needs, what their life story is, what this person's background is. Thirdly, eat gladly. Spend time with them. You can do a lot when you eat with people, when you fellowship with people, when you build relationships with someone. Next, serve humbly. Serve people. One good way to open the hearts of people is to serve them. Rather than us being served lang, serve other people. And lastly, share wisely. Share. Preach the gospel wisely to people with wisdom. Di man lang ka lang nagkuwi mo sa mong friends, "Hey bro, kailangan ni Jesus, manigibuat niya." Bang, 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 bang. Share it wisely naman. We are a church on a mission called to bless every part of the nation or other nations as well. We are called basically to live, to tell the tale about Jesus to other people. Let's pray, church.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.